from the week of Monday, May 30th. The Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. It keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJS at 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's because we're not on at 1.
That's true.
They moved Hee-Haw, so
if,
we're good.
If we were on at 1, we'd be the best thing on at 1.
I don't think I've seen Hee-Haw in 40 years. Where are you watching Hee-Haw?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything.
Reruns.
Oh, well, if you go on cable, then they sell like the whole thing on DVDs, show. Like all of them.
Hand me that.
Love reruns.
You just hook up an antenna to your TV, you're going to get like 60 stations.
Hmm. What's an antenna?
Exactly.
What is that?
An antenna?
Yeah.
It's what you have left after you cut the cord.
Cutting the cord from the cable, too. It should be all just Ethernet.
Well, it's not like he watches TV. He just sits in the basement corner just playing with his toys anyway. So what's the difference?
I like the Apple TV Plus, man. There's some good shows. Slow Horses is amazing.
Wait, he doesn't have any toys. I thought he plays with himself.
He sleeps under the porch because he doesn't have sweat glands. Oh. So, well, this is Made Man Bob. And joining me are Made Man Brent.
Torture in the basement today.
Mm-hmm. And Made Man Maury.
I'm excited. It's going to be deep today. I wore my thigh-high wellies.
And good old boy Justin.
It's going to be fantastic today, boys and girls.
And Harm, who's been watching too much H&G TV because apparently he has to arrange everything on the table.
Well, I'm trying to take pictures, man. I could do banter or I could just post to Facebook.
How about you focus on the microphone and worry about pictures later?
I'm talking straight into the microphone, baby.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, thank you, Bob, for having me because today I actually mean it.
This, yeah, exactly.
This is a good show.
See,
this is the good one.
All right, kiss the ring. Kiss the ring. You can kiss the ring. It's fine.
Give me that bottle, please, Brian.
Yeah. Well, this is a pretty good day. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can sip. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Balvenie, the Balvenie French Oak 16-year-old single malt whiskey. From Glendronach, one of our favorites. We have the Batch 12 Cask Strength Glendronach. Justin's favorite guy. And from Old Putney, we've got the 12-year-old, the Old Putney 15, the Old Putney 18, and the Old Putney 25. Again.
Yeah, right.
And the Old Putney Huddart. And from Ardbeg, we have the Ardbeg Heavy Vapors. So strap yourself in, kids. We're in for a bumpy ride. So
it's not going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be great.
No, it's not going to be good.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Not only is it going to taste great, but we get to watch Brent. So it's twice as much fun. Oh, I can't wait. All right. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
Oh, yeah. This is Randy, the Macho Man Savage, coming at you. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Gangadin, water. Gangadin, drink water. Drink water.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Hold on. Our system crashed. There you go.
Interesting.
With a voice like that, of course it would.
Mm-hmm. Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes! Yeah, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. Not buy it for a second.
We had a Scottish guy who was going to do AI, but it kept coming up syntax error. So, Randy came.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying it. So, all right. Well, let's move on to our first whiskey. And we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The first whiskey today will be the Balvenie French Oak, 16-year-old, 95 proof, 47.5% ABV. This is the first of the Balvenie finishes to explore French oak. The Balvenie French Oak takes Balvenie single malt whiskey, which was initially matured in American oak casks, and finishes it in French oak casks that previously held wine from the French Charente Vineyards.
Pinot de Charente.
Thank you. Pinot de Charente is a fortified wine made from unfermented grape juice in which a cognac, eau de vie, is added and then matured. The Balvenie USA brand ambassador, Lauren Cousins, suggested maltmaster David C. Stewart, MBE, explore these casks after a trip to the region with his family where he fondly remembers sipping the aperitif.
Nobody asks for Pinot de Charente except for French Canadians. I sell two of them, and only when the snowbirds are in town. It's a weird thing.
What is it?
It's not cognac. It's basically cognac and the wine that cognac is made from.
Eau de vie.
Well, it's not the eau de vie. It's as you're right. It's the eau de vie, not the cognac. It's not been aged properly. It's the brandy that they made before it's been aged to be called cognac. And the wine, it's what are the grapes in cognac? Colombard and Fall Blanche and something else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the wine, before it was distilled and the distillate got mixed together and by accident one time, and that became an aperitif called Pinot de Charente. So it's weird. It's a niche product.
There are many French Canadians in town right now in South Florida. So
you're right, Maury. I'm sure you're
selling a lot.
You're right. He never interrupts you.
Just go to any of the county parks.
But the Caribbean cask finish was the thing that really made this nice, too.
Yes. Okay. Well, in any event, that's where it was matured. The Balvenie brand ambassador had suggested this, and he drinks it, and he thought that this release will now become the first permanent addition to the Balvenie cask finish range since 2013, when the Caribbean cask finish was first introduced. So, this expression is extremely light in color. It's a very, very pale straw color. On the nose, it's very floral. There's lots of flowers on the nose, hints of grass, and even a little bit of apple skin.
I get full-on apple, baby. It's not just the skin. But you get
full-on apple. My apple, I found the apple blew off early.
Is it red or green? That's what I can't figure out.
For me, it was red. I didn't really get a lot of green apple. On the palate, it's definitely tangy. It's citrusy. There's lemon rind. There's some grapefruit. There's some glazed fruit. There's a little spice. There's even a little hint of ginger. And then the finish is pleasant and nice and medium. This is a pleasant wine. This is a pleasant whiskey. It was very interesting. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was bright. I thought it was fresh.
It's Balvenie.
Yeah.
It's Balvenie.
Not a 40-year-old, though.
That's all you need to know. Well,
yeah, yeah, but it's different than most Balvenies. I mean, I love everything they make.
I sold all my 40-year-old, man. I've tried to ask them for more. There's nothing left in the state. Yeah.
I mean, Balvenie is classic. I mean, they're one of the few distilleries that does their own malting of barley. Most people are buying the barley already malted. They've got the malting floor. You can tour it. It's amazing. It's an amazing place.
Well, it's some of it. A portion of the barley they malt.
It's a little malt, smaller production than like Glenfiddich owns.
Yeah, the top of the hill, it's a giant factory, but yeah. Balvenie is still just...
It's their more niche product.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's the point. Of course, they don't malt every last ounce of their barley, but they do malt barley, which is more than most places can say.
Almost nobody does it.
Nobody's malting their own barley.
Yeah, they actually try, you know.
Well, you've got the small distilleries on Isla that might do, like Kilhoman. Malts 100% of its barley, but they're so tiny. You know, all these tiny producers are different.
Correct.
Balvenie makes so much more.
But this is a lovely whiskey. I thought it was a little more on the feminine style. It's not very masculine. It's not very powerful. It's got finesse. It's got style. It's got grace.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I thought it was lovely. Harm, what'd you think?
I agree with everything you said for some reason.
Oh, my God. I'm going to fall over.
One thing, though, I did get on the nose that you didn't get was brioche. Getting a little bit of brioche with the apple.
Oh, I did get it. I just wanted to leave you something to say. God,
it's so good. The flowers, I can't identify them, but they're earthy.
They're geraniums.
Okay, they're geraniums. I don't know what geraniums smell like. They're earthy and they're gorgeous. And on the palate, I got a little more malt than you did. I got a little hint of light orange and I got violet on the palate. But it just goes on forever. Even though it's light and feminine, the finish is long. Justin, what'd you think?
So on the nose, I got some pledge, and in a good way.
Lemon pledge.
And then
you
on
were
huffing
that as a kid, were you?
No doubt. Statute of limitations is run on that. And then on the palate, I got like some lemon, vanilla, and then I got beets.
That's what the heck?
What? I got beets.
Roasted, boiled, how? Borscht?
Russian borscht.
Borscht.
Like beet soup.
You are so weird.
Yeah, he's weird.
But no, you maybe not, because there's no earthy.
That's what I got.
We both got this earthy component, right? The violets are earthy.
Yeah.
Geraniums, I guess, are earthy.
I mean, that's what good borscht, called out, not bad borscht.
So maybe that earthy, I don't know, man. You're hanging out with Russians.
Maybe we should bring this to the borscht belt and go spend the weekend.
I'm half Russian and half Austrian, so it kind of makes sense.
So what else you got?
So
you freaked me out with the beets.
It was very tangy, and I definitely got like some root beer mixed in with the beets.
Now you're on crack.
And, roots. The finish was
roots.
Long.
I could see beet is a root vegetable, but you had me at roots. Root beer, you lost me.
Like good root beer from Vegas that they brew like beer, but no alcohol. It's like what's it, Queens Hotel? Really good. So, what'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, on the nose, I got dandelions and apples is what I picked up on the nose.
That was, I like the dandelion note. That's good.
You know, dandelions are quite healthy. They can cure cancer.
Oh, that's a great
tasty,
thing,
the greens.
Yeah, so, you know, but we'll be back and tell you about this after the break.
And crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and Brent was just finishing up his thoughts on the Balvenie French Oak. What'd you think?
Yeah, on the palate, you know, I got some of those fruit notes that everybody else got and stuff, and you know, it's one of those things I enjoyed. It's not a Balvenie 40, But I enjoyed it still
nothing
the same.
Nothing to Balvenie for
no,
me.
Nothing. You can't. You just can't
that.
Hold on
I
to that.
I know that, but.
You can't hold on to it. You're never going to have anything that good again.
I have to hold on to it.
The secondary on Balvenie 40 is 10 grand now.
No. That's not a shock.
Yeah, no. Well, I believe me, if I had the means, yeah, I'd definitely have one. But
so what do you think about the 16, Bob?
I think it's fantastic. I agree. It's a very feminine sort of blend. But it's just so well done, like everything they do. And figuring the cast that they got this from, this is not the flavor I thought that they would get out of it. So, it just shows...
Well, Pinot de Charente is quite floral, but this doesn't have that cognac note at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have that
apricot and spice.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any open bottles of Pinot de Charente at your store?
I'm sold... Almost all of them. I'm not sure if I have anything left. But
both of them?
Is it expensive? Yes, yeah.
No, I sell two different brands.
Is it expensive?
No, Pinot de Charente's not expensive. It's like a $30 bottle of wine.
Well, we're going to be rating the Balvenie French Oak 16-year-old 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So now... we get to talk about Glendronach Cask Strength Batch 12. 58.2% alcohol by volume, or 116.4 proof. Glendronach was established by founder James Allardyce in 1826 as one of Scotland's earliest licensed distilleries. Currently owned by Brown-Forman, this 12th edition of Cask Strength Expression was expertly crafted by master blender Rachel Berry from a marriage of Pedro Jimenez and Oloroso Sherry Casks.
She is amazing. Everything she touches is magic.
She's my hero.
This is a beautiful light brown color.
It's bronze.
And there's like a mochaccino and a cappuccino that got married with some orange rind. And some beautiful fruit, a little bit of the cherry, Luxardo cherry juice you get when you drink the end of the jar after you ate all the cherries out. Yeah, I'm that
guy. I put
it
in my Diet Coke. I love that cherry juice.
That's
so
a great
good.
Idea.
It's so good.
It's pure sugar. Just put it in a Diet Coke.
That's a diabetic coma.
It's regular Coke.
So I'm diabetic, but I will occasionally put some Luxardo syrup in my Diet Coke. Just so, you know,
I don't know
my
why are you using Diet Coke? Why don't you just put it in regular Coke?
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah.
Might as well just go in a coma.
It's like shooting yourself with a .22, man. Just go ahead and up it, you know?
On the palate, I got this rich... dark wood with some sweet milk chocolate or even white chocolate, really, on this one. A little bit of orange peel and ginger. And the finish is just long and complex. I love this. What did you think, Maury?
Wow. I'm not sure I'm prepared to follow that. But... let me try. I thought this was delicious whiskey. I love where you were going with the creaminess on the nose and, you know, the fruit. I thought that was spot on. On the palate, I really found it to be really interesting. This orange, a little hint of almond, a little hint of crystallized ginger. There was definitely some chocolate and tiramisu notes. I thought it was a really interesting whiskey. Really fascinating. What'd you think, Brent?
Yes. Interesting is the word because it's not like something you normally pick up and just enjoy. This one is
you got to dissect it a little bit.
Yeah, you do. It's been a long time since I had a fruitcake, but that's what I got right off the bat when I was nosing this. Was like, oh my God, it brings me back to many Christmases ago when somebody you didn't like would send you a fruitcake.
I got like a chocolate covered orange rind.
No, on the
there's orange on the, and chocolate.
It's, yeah, on the,
no, you
the
kidding. Both of you ginger, got a lump of coal.
There's ginger. There's cake batter. There's dried fruit.
Well, no, on the palate you get it's like taking a bite of like an orange chocolate balls that they
chocolate.
Get
Thank
with
you.
Ginger with, you know, with seasoned with ginger. So you take a bite of that, and that's what you got.
We don't have enough Christmas fruitcake experience. Ginger. To comment.
Candied pears, candied cherries. It's all. It's a fruitcake. Like tastes, you said the first time, Brent. You were on the right. You were on the right track.
Tastes like a high-end Dalmore product.
Now I know why your nickname comes from. Harm, you are a fruitcake.
I lived in New Orleans, and we had these fruitcakes made by these monks. That people would go all over the country would buy these cakes from these monks. That's the kind of this is the good fruit cake. It's not the cake you give your relatives that gets passed around year after year.
Quaxton's
you want.
Quaxton's. You get it one year, it gets passed to somebody else the next year.
Regifted. That's the same fruit cake. It's been regifted for the last 30 years.
There's only one. Exactly. It just travels around the world.
There's only one fruit cake.
It's in Albania this month, in case you were wondering.
Right. Is that from Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy, too? Is that just the one fruit cake in the entire universe?
Right.
It's just so delicious, though.
Yeah. Well, this is beautiful.
It's just, I mean, like you thought it was not going to be. I mean, it's like we've been very fortunate to have the last several of the cast drinks from Glendronach, and this is really the first project that Rachel did when she took over from Brown Foreman.
Her first project was 3 years of getting rid of all the bad casks.
Yes, yeah, but this was the first brand that she turned. Yeah,
right.
And has never looked back. Yeah. And I have one of these small ones like this that I got her to sign for me when she was in Miami and tried not to completely fanboy and Wayne Worlds on her.
And you just failed. You
know, I completely failed. I probably creeped her out. I don't know. But it was just, she's an absolute genius. She's never missed, not on anything I've ever had. And this is an absolutely fantastic whiskey.
I got to geek out with her that day, too. It was great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's just so good. So we're going to be rating the Glendronach Cask Strength Batch Number 12, 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's have Brent tell us about our next whiskey.
I can't wait to mess up these names. First off, Old Pulteney. Putney.
That's pronounced Putney. Spelled Pulteney.
Yeah. So that's what we're working. So the Putney Distillery was established in Wick in 1826 by James Henderson and continued operations for nearly a century until it was sold to James Watson and Company.
You got the names good so far.
Well,
Henderson, Watson, you're all right.
A Dundee blending house in 1920. So Watson's was first acquired by John Dewar and Sons, and in 1925 became part of the distillery's company. Wick imposed prohibition in 1930, causing the distillery to close, and the town remained dry until 1947. It's a bad thing, you know? It's like what happened over here, you know?
So, I'd leave. I'd move.
Yeah, the distillery reopened in 1951 under the ownership of attorney Bertie Cumming, the owner of Balbaire Distillery.
Paul Blair.
Yeah, see? I told you I was going to mess that one up. No, you pronounce the L there, and you don't in this one. You know, that's...
Keep going.
Yeah, so Hiram Walker and Sons purchased Putney in 1955. They renovated the facility in 1958 and 59, and then closed the floor maltings at the time. In 1961, Putney was again sold, and this time to Allied Breweries, which became Allied...
Dominique.
Yeah, who used the whiskey in their blends. They also sold casks to Gordon and McFain.
He just misspelled that.
Yeah, sorry.
Who sold the whiskey as an 8-year-old single malt. Allied operated the distillery until it was sold to Inverhouse Distilleries in 1995, who bottled the whiskey as a single malt brand. So what we have here is the Old Putney 12-year-old single malt whiskey. It's 40% ABV, 80 proof. This expression is matured in air-dried, hand-selected ex-bourbon casks. Very common thing. The color is a dark straw, kind of going towards brown. On the nose, you get vanilla. You get this vanilla and you get oats. So you pick up the vanilla and oats, and then on the palate, it's just a smoothness. You get this right off the bat. You get this like if you had like, you know, like salt water that was like tamed down and smoothed out, you know, like a really light salt water. You get that with
you don't get any lemon on this.
I get a little citrusy. Hold on, I'm not done with it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I get that right off the bat, that little saltiness, and then I get some it's like a chocolate peanut, a little bit of citrus there.
The I lemon like the citrus. He enunciated that properly.
You know,
chocolate and some peanut.
chocolate. The first time he pronounced the T,
a chocolate what?
So, and
disappointing your fans. Go ahead.
Right, and so it's. I love this expression. This one here, I was very happy with. I think it's the right proof for it. Easy drinker.
At 40 proof, I think is too low for it.
Well, I agree with Harm.
You know, it's just a nice, easy
drinker. It's entry level. This is your everyday scotch sipper. It's an introduction to the line. It's beautifully done. It's well made. There's nothing wrong with it.
Except the proof is too low.
But it's uninspiring. it needs a little bit more proof. I think a little more proof would turn the flavor up by a couple notches. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's beautifully made. But we'd like to see a little more.
Yeah. Justin?
So I'm wearing this as cologne right now, and I expect to have a positive result later.
Yes, get all the chicks, baby.
A positive result later. I got honey bunches of oats, and then a very delicate, like, Asian honeydew melon thing going on before I get the light salt finish.
I don't get that melon at all.
Asian honeydew melon.
Like an Asian honeydew melon. Yeah, like when you get the honeydew melon cake from the Asian store and you eat that, you get that.
Never had one.
I think this punch is way above its weight. Now, I agree 80 proof's a little low, but if you just put a lot of it in your mouth and drink it fast, it almost tastes like 85 proof.
Nobody put water in it.
This is delicious. Right? I wouldn't put water in it. It's already got enough water.
I put water in it.
Did you? Did it help it?
I put water in it. I don't know that it helped it. I think it really brought the salt forward to it for me. So
I like that that honeydew note from he's talking about now, because I didn't until he said
not
it,
honey any honeydew Japanese honeydew
Japanese honeydew. But I got some citrus and you didn't get any citrus.
No, I said I got a little bit of a lemon.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit of lemon citrus on there.
All right, Bob, what'd you think?
Again, honeycomb citrus. It's extremely well made, very well put together.
That cereal note's good too. Like we say, he said, what do you call it? Honey bunches of oats. That was a good note too.
Yeah. Or what was the other one? Honeycomb with sugar bear.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Honeycomb cereal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's cereal notes there.
I mean, again, I always, you know, so many scotches come in at 80. I prefer higher proof. I'm an American.
Too, but I see where Brett's going. It still good.
Oh, no, it's great.
There's a lot of 80 proof ones that are disappointing. This is not disappointing.
Oh, no, not disappointing at all.
You need to drink a lot of it at once.
Yeah.
Like a couple of ounces per pour.
Fill your mouth with it.
I think he's onto something.
Otherwise, you won't get enough flavor.
Maybe we should try that. Maybe we should, like, drive a motorcycle really fast while drinking it really fast.
Yes.
And it would speed up, and we'd go back in time.
Drink more. That's
well, we're
going to
be rating the Old Putney 12-year-old single malt. Well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So let's go on to our 15. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
All right. Thanks, Bob. The Old Putney 15-year-old single malt whiskey is 46% ABV or 92 proof. It is an expression that's aged in second-fill bourbon barrels and finished in first-fill Oloroso sherry butts. The color is a dark mahogany. This is the darkest
beautiful
whiskey
color
at the table.
Dark.
As I'm the darkest man at the table. So I'm doing this.
I don't see color.
Gorgeous.
Me either, you racist.
But I smell this. Oh, my God. This is an orange peel bomb. So Oloroso sherry, generally you get red fruits, but here I'm getting this orange. I'm getting orange peel and fennel and leather and vanilla. And adding water gave me caramelized apple.
You have to add the water to this one.
Yeah,
this
water. Water brought caramel apple.
I didn't add water, but
cherry.
I will try it.
Yeah, this was I had must add water. I underlined it twice.
Yeah, yeah. The water brought out candied cherries as well, but that took air as well. So on the palate, my first note says orange push pop. Remember those push pops? Yeah. Orange vanilla push pops, and then cherry and what's that? I can't read that. Licorice. That's to say, and the finish is long. Mouth coating, great mouth feel. It just covers every part of your palate. It's silky. It's not velvety. It's just silky, just smooth and beautiful with tons of fruit. and it just goes on forever and ever. I freaking love this whiskey. Bob, what do you think?
If you don't like this whiskey, you can get out of my damn basement. That's all I'm telling you.
Sorry, Brent. Nice seeing you.
I'm staying because...
I mean, just the nose on this thing is just so rich, and just the sherry note on it.
Luscious.
Just, you could cut it with a knife. I mean, that's, it's just beautiful on the nose, but on the palate.
That orange or nectarine, it's gorgeous.
There's that beautiful, beautiful orange note. You're getting some of that. I get some of the